I'm going to look at God's grace. We're going to look at a message called God's Grace, and want to, I really think there might be a couple more messages coming yet, but I want to start with the foundation a little bit of what God's grace really is. At times we all touch and know, but there's sometimes we need to come back and just begin to look at things fresh and new again. And God's grace, I'm going to read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10. It says, By the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace towards me is not in vain, but I have labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Listen, today, so many times as believers, every believer comes to know Jesus, and you want to be successful, you want to grow into maturity, and there's something about that we need to come into the understanding of grace if we're going to get there. And grace is one of the key things that Satan will try to get you off base on in your life. It is one of the things that he will try to disrupt. He will try to get you from understanding and even operating in it, because it will make the difference in your life and in everybody you touch if you understand grace. It will change the way you view things, the way you think. Listen, the days we live in, how many people here know someone who lives in condemnation, who lives in fear, who wrestles with failure, who wrestles with wounds and hurts and discouragement and depression? Listen, when we begin to know the grace of God, it changes everything. It changes everything if we begin to understand and walk in it. One preacher one time defined grace like this. He said, grace is like the oars in a boat, and the current is this world. And you use that grace and you keep on rowing upstream until you finally make it. That's a really bad definition. It's a false definition. Because if it was about you rowing, it wouldn't be called grace. Grace ain't about you and how good you are, but it's all about how good God is. And it is something we can get so far off on. I don't know about you, Glenn, but I got to come back to this again and again. Because somewhere, don't understand, when you're a new believer, this is important. As you get older, it's even more important. Because our foundation, one of the key things we need to really be able to stand and walk on is grace. Because with grace, I'm plugged into God. Works is not plugged into God. And just because I'm a Christian and I have some success in my life doesn't mean that I have the answers. All it means is that I have the answer, and it's Him. What comes from Him? Amen? It's not about all these 1, 2, 3. I love preaching because I love God's Word. It's awesome. I get more out of it studying it a lot of times than I do any other time. But I love His Word. I love all these things. But it's never been about how much I love stuff. It's about how much grace He gives. It's never been about how smart or how educated I've been. It's about how good God is. His grace makes all the difference. In our life, His grace makes the difference. I don't know about you, but how many here have ever tried to make yourself happy? Anybody ever do that? How many of you here have tried to fix somebody else so you could be happy? Don't lie, you're in church. That happens in almost every married couple. If I could fix my spouse, I'm telling you, there's only one way to happiness, and it's by the grace of God. There's only one way to joy in my life. There's only one way to peace, and it's by His grace. Now, here's something we need to understand about grace. The way we access grace is faith. In Ephesians 2 and verse 8 and 9, it says, "For by grace you were saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Listen, grace of salvation is there for everybody, but the only way you receive grace is by faith. I want us to understand how grace comes just a little bit as we start. The grace of God comes by faith, not by works. If it comes by works, then it's really not faith. Okay, Romans chapter 5 and verse 2, here's another one. It says, "Through whom also we have access by faith into the grace in which we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." All the things you have in your life, all the good things you have in your life come by the grace of God as you believe, not as you perform. But too many times we think we have to perform to have God's grace in our life. to have God's, we have to do, well, if I can do this, if I can do these five steps as a husband, I can see the grace of God in my marriage, and everything will be really good. It'll be a godly marriage. If your marriage is a godly marriage, it's because you believe in Him. And His ability has come into you. His favor has come into your marriage, and now you have a blessed marriage because of who He is. It's not by your performance. And this is harder, because sometimes what happens is I don't know about you, but I've worked with a lot of different people, and sometimes you're like, well, if you want success, here's your steps. Let me go through the Bible. Anybody ever do that? You want some peace? Well, let me give you the five steps. Let's go to Philippians. Here's how, now there are some, God's word is true, but I'm telling you, it comes what? As you believe, not just knowledge, not just having some kind of ritual. It comes by faith. In fact, it says all the things we stand on. That means any area where God's grace is in your life, any area of blessing of God in your life comes as you believe, not just as you do. Now, I'm going to look at grace a little bit. The first one is that grace is unmerited. And I'm going to read that one again in Ephesians. Ephesians 2 and verse 8 and 9, it says, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Here's the great thing about heaven. In heaven, nobody will be boasting. Nobody will stand and say, "I have rowed that boat every day of my life, and I made it to heaven." Now, those people didn't row their boat, and they didn't make it. They quit. No one's going to do that. In fact, the first time you see Jesus and you see the nails in His hands and the feet and you see Him standing as the Lamb of God, you're going to look at Him and every ounce of your being is going to say, "I'm only here because of Jesus. I'm not here because I was so good. I wasn't here because I just obeyed. I'm here because of the work of Jesus Christ has carried me through." Listen, there's a picture in Revelations where it talks about how the elders are before the throne and they have their crowns, and their crowns are their reward. And it says they throw their crowns down and they bow down before Him and they say, "Worthy is the Lamb of God." Why did they do that? Because they know even the reward and the greatness in their life, everything good they've achieved has only come because of Him, and they throw it at His feet and say, "No, You're worthy. You're the only reason I could even do the things I did. You're the only reason I'm in heaven today. You're the only reason I had a good marriage. You're the only reason that You gave me success in my life. You're the only reason I had these in my life. You're the only reason." I'm telling you, when we meet Jesus, we're no longer looking through a mirror. We'll see Him face to face, and we'll understand truth in a dimension we have never understood it before. In fact, even when the worst sinner sees Jesus, it says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Every atheist will bow down that day and cry out, "He is the Jesus, He is the Lord, He is the King." Every demon there is that's ever been will cry out, "He is Jesus, He is the King." And there will be no person who screams, "You're on an unjust God, you're an unfair God," because everybody knows the judgments that comes will be the judgment of God, and it's fair and it's righteous. We're going to see clearly on that day. But listen, as we're here as believers, we can get in His Spirit and we can begin to know the mind of Christ even. We can see clearly here. And there's something about this area of grace where if we want to be successful in it, we've got to begin to see some things clearly about how that works. Listen, when you were first saved, it was so easy to know it's by grace. We have to make sure we understand that it's by grace every day. See, when you got saved, it was by the grace of God because you didn't deserve it. And the truth is that even now, He's still saving me and I don't deserve it. And one day He will save me and take me to glory, and I still don't deserve it. It's still grace. It's unmerited. Listen, when I stand before Him, what does the Father see? He sees Jesus, His Son, and the price that He paid. He sees His blood. He sees the work of Christ, not the failings of a man, but the greatness of Jesus. The second area is that it's undeserved. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 24, it says, "Being justified freely by grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Justify means just as if I never done it. "By His grace, my sins are washed away." That word grace in there, the original word is charis. And that word charis means, it had more of a meaning there. What it meant in the culture of that day, it meant a benevolent gift from a superior to an inferior. In the culture of that day, that word kris was about a transaction that took place. There was somebody, there was a giver who was known as a patron. There was a receiver, which was known as a client, and there was a broker who went between them. Here's how this worked. Is the broker went and had seen somebody in need. And then he went and found somebody who could meet that need and said, hey, there's need over here. This person here ain't got no food. They ain't got no clothes. They need help. And then the giver would give to the broker, and the broker would take it, and he would give it to the one who needed it. That's that word, kris. That's that word kris in there where it talks about that's related to grace in there. And you know what that's a picture of? That's a picture of Jesus. How many know Jesus came from his Father? And he came here, what, to give us life. He was our mediator. He was our broker. He was the one who came. Listen, that deal about undeserved, we didn't deserve it, but Jesus came anyways. He died for us, for our sins, for our healing, for our peace. And the third one is unearned. Romans 11 and verse 6, it says, and if by grace, then no longer works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. If by works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, works is no longer works. In there, you can kind of substitute those, the free and earn for grace and works. Because here's what it's saying. Listen, if you have to earn it, then it's not grace. And if it's grace, you don't have to earn it. See, grace is not about earning it. Grace is not about having to earn those things. Here's the definition from the Baker's Encyclopedia of the Bible. It says, grace is the dimension of divine activity that enables God to confront human indifference and rebellion with an exhaustible capacity to forgive and bless. Listen, grace is God's exhaustible capacity to forgive and to bless. What does that mean? It doesn't matter how much you sin, how much you do wrong, God forgives. Isn't that good news? It don't matter how much you rebel. When we sat there this morning, I didn't share that, but I feel prompted to do that. The Lord began to say to me, he said, there's something about someone in here is just really in rebellion. And God said, tell him to stop and I'll help him. I don't know who that is. It was over and I was like, I don't know how to fit that. And he's like, right here it is. Why? Because it doesn't matter how bad you get. God still loves you. Amen. You will not earn the grace of God. You will not, and to me, we think we do. I'm telling you, this is something we need to get down deep in our spirit because sometimes it's like, well, I have been really holy. And therefore, as I pray, I deserve more of the grace of God. You know what I love? I love when some dirty, crazy sinner that everybody knows comes in and finds the grace of God. And people are like, what? They're praying for things and then God's doing it. God don't even do that for me. You know why? It ain't about being earned. It's about believing. I love when God shakes it up because here's the thing. You don't earn that. You do not earn. You receive. Grace is more about you receiving than about earning anything. And if you think you, here's why we got to get right in our thinking. If we think we earn grace, we won't be able to receive it right. Because God will say, here, Si, I've got grace for you. And Si's like, well, I ain't earned it yet. Because my wife told me so. She told me I had to do better if I was really going to have God's blessing in my life. It starts with grace. It starts with grace. It starts with that grace working in you. Even when Paul wrote that one deal, he said, listen, I do more than anybody. But even yet, you need to understand what I do, it ain't about what I do because what I do is through his grace. What I do is through his grace. It's through him. It's through knowing him and having him. The thing about grace is grace is God's unmerited favor. It's his unearned favor. Now, his grace does do whatever needs to be done. It has power. It's God's ability. but I don't earn it. You know why I don't get drunk all the time, run around crazy? It ain't because I'm so smart or I earned anything. It's because as I begin to know Jesus, the grace of God began to come into my life. And it began to change me from the inside out, not the outside in. When I come to him, I did not come to him a good person. I came to him a very rotten person. And as I stand before him now, I don't stand as a man of great accomplishment. I stand as one that I got to trust in him because I fail all the time, but he never fails. And some say, well, listen, when you put faith in yourself, that's pride. My confidence, I listened to a guy preach that this last week when we were visiting somebody up north. So many people like, you need self-confidence. No, you don't. You need God confidence. Self-confidence is you can do it. And I'm telling you, if you're going to live on what you can do, you're going to have a bad life and maybe a bad death. And no one's laughing, but it's true. My confidence should be what? In Christ. In Christ alone, I stand. I stand on his ground. I stand on what he has. It's not in my confidence. Listen, there's a place where I know there's some things that God has entrusted to me, and we can know those things, but man, we have to understand that this is not earned. We got to have our confidence in him. Our faith is in him. That's how that grace begins to activate in our life. It's how it begins to move. I'll read that verse I was just quoting in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10. It says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me is not in vain, but I labor more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which is in me. It's by his grace. Only by him. Listen, I want to, some of this stuff here today, I'm going to show a clip here. I want to show a video clip in just a second. I want us just to get a basic understanding of what grace is before. I want to get in more into what grace is, but I want us to get a basic understanding. It's God's unmerited favor. It's his unearned favor. And we only get it by faith, not by works. Listen, there's something about that if we can begin to get. I'm going to show a video clip here, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about what it is. And I've used this a couple years ago, this clip, and I want to use it again. It's an awesome story about Rick and Dick Hoyt. Dick was born severely handicapped. He couldn't walk. He couldn't speak. He's been that way his whole life. And in the 70s is when he's born, and his parents worked with him, and he was unable to communicate with anybody. And his parents actually were the ones who helped develop the technology to where he could use his eyes with a computer and communicate. I mean, pretty amazing deal all by itself that far. But what happened is that at the age of 15, he was watching something, and he told his dad that he wanted to do a 5K run for the benefit of a boy who was, it was a run that they were doing because there was a boy who was paralyzed. They wanted to raise money for him. He wanted to do this race. And so his dad trained, and they did it. And it's quite a deal. And after that run, he told his dad, he said, this is the first time in my life I haven't felt like I've been crippled. It's the first time I've felt like I'm not handicapped in that race. Since that time, what's happened is that he's done over 72 marathons with the father and son. He's done over 252 triathlons. And a triathlon is where they do 2.4 miles swimming, and he pulls his son in the raft. You'll see that. He does 26.2 miles running, where he pushes a special chair. And then he has a bike where his son can be on the front, and he bikes 112 miles. And it is such an amazing picture. I want to watch that and begin to watch the grace in that deal. There's something about it. Would you play that, please, Todd?
Who taught the sun where to stand in the morning? And who told the ocean you can know? This fire, and who showed the moon where to hide till evening? Whose words alone can capture for me
Amazing picture, isn't it? Here's a picture of grace. Jesus is the one running and I'm in the chair. That's grace. I can do nothing on my own, but through all things, Christ is possible. His grace, His Spirit. Listen, there's something about that. We have to be coming back to that place and begin to look at our life and say, am I operating in the grace of God or am I not? Am I operating in the grace of God? And I'll tell you, there's something about this that I know for myself in some areas of my life, I have to say, am I operating in the grace of God or is Damon just doing it? I don't want to do what Damon does. I want the grace of God, amen? I want to know His peace. I want to know the success of God. I want to know the destiny of God. I want to know the ways of God, but that doesn't come by my planning. It comes by His Spirit. It comes by Him moving in my life. Let's all stand today. And as we bow our heads, I'm going to begin to pray, and let's just begin to ask the Holy Spirit to show us things, because here's the thing. This comes from the Word of God. It says, cast your cares on Him, because He cares for you. Don't carry what you're carrying. Learn how to cast your cares on Him. Father, right now, I pray that as we're here, You just begin to show us a new picture of this grace deep down in our hearts. Lord, don't let us operate in our own strength and our own will and our own emotions, God, but show us what it is to know the grace of God, to know the unmerited favor of God, the unearned favor of God. Lord, to know what it is to see your ability working in us that we can point to and say, this isn't me, this is the grace of God has given me this. Lord, I pray that you just begin to help us as a body be free in different areas of our life. Free of wrestling, free of trying to push into things all the time, but let us operate in your grace. Let us be submitted and humble and pliable in your hands, God. Lord, I pray that even this day that you go with us, that you help us, Lord, encourage, give us strength. Lord, I pray that you help different ones experience new levels of your grace this week. Help me begin to experience more of who you are, Lord. New levels of your grace. God, you are so good. Lord, even now as our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, I really don't want anyone looking around. I just want ones to be praying. If there's any of you in here now, and you've never, or you're not, maybe you're not in today, that place of grace when it comes to salvation. If you want to know Jesus and give your life to him and experience the grace of salvation, not the education, there's a difference. If there's anybody here who wants to do that today, I just want you to lift your hands. Is there anybody? Lord, I pray today that you go with us, that you keep us. Lord, help us walk into this. God, we don't want to know you with our minds. We want to know you with our spirit. God, you are so awesome. I can just feel your presence in this room. I can feel the weight of this thing on different ones. Lord, I pray you just walk with us and show us, teach us, and lead us, and guide us. And God, we're going to give you the glory. You're our strength. You're our rock. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have an awesome week.